Are you looking to take your team to the next level? In his new book, Elevate Your Team, Empower Your Team to Reach Their Full Potential and Build a Business That Builds Leaders, Robert Glaser shares his proven strategies for building a high-performing team. Glaser is the founder and CEO of Acceleration Partners, a leading marketing agency, and he's helped hundreds of businesses grow their teams. In Elevate Your Team, Robert shares his insights on how to create a culture of learning and growth, how to empower employees to take ownership of their work, and how to align everyone with your company's mission. Here's Robert to share five of his big ideas.
Hi, everyone. This is Robert Glaser. I'm the founder and board chairman of Acceleration Partners, author of six books, including Friday Forward and Elevate, and host of the Elevate podcast. I'm going to share with you five of the key insights from my new book, Elevate Your Team. Insight number one, capacity building is the key to improvement for individuals and organizations. Capacity building is how you develop the skills to reach your full potential. Or to put it another way, it's how you get better. The highest performers aren't necessarily the people with the best credentials or the most experience. Instead, they are the people who are capable of building their capacity faster than the rest of us. No matter what your starting point is, the ability to learn and grow quickly is what separates you from the pack. This is especially true in fast-growing organizations, where leaders constantly need people to step up. Capacity building has four key interrelated areas. Spiritual capacity, understanding who you are and what you want and the standards you want to live by each day. For most people, this is their core values. Intellectual capacity, how you improve your ability to think, learn, plan, and execute with discipline. Physical capacity, your health, well-being, and physical performance. And emotional capacity, how you react to challenging situations, your emotional mindset, and the quality of your relationships. You'll notice that these four competencies affect our behaviors, both at work and outside of it. This is not a coincidence. The fact is, we're not different people in our personal and professional lives. What we do outside work affects our professional performance and vice versa. Building capacity in one sphere inevitably affects the other. The key isn't to make yourself into a better employee at the expense of your personal life. The goal is holistic growth that elevates all facets of your performance. Insight number two, work smarter, not longer. In 2012, Marissa Mayer arrived with a lot of fanfare as the new CEO of Yahoo. She came from Google, where she was a rising star and had developed a reputation as a workaholic. Most famously, Mayer alluded to her habit of 100-plus-hour work weeks as a point of pride. She was even quoted as saying she had put in 130-hour work weeks. If you do the math, that's 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, leaving 6 hours for sleeping, eating, and personal maintenance, and, well, living. What's most remarkable is that Mayer's hard-driving approach didn't do her any good at the helm of Yahoo. Her 5-year tenure as CEO was marked by challenges on all fronts. The company spent $2 billion on 53 acquisitions, most of which were worthless. 33% of the employees left the company between 2015 and 2016, and of the employees who were still there, only 35% believed that things would improve. Mayer ended up exiting the company in 2017 under significant pressure. She forfeited the last 2 years of her bonus and hasn't held a major leadership role since. So what went wrong? While she clearly had a formidable task to turn around Yahoo, Mayer prioritized working hard over measurable results. And whether intentional or not, her extreme work schedule sent the wrong message to her team. Leaders today can't work their people to the bone anymore and brag about hero hours. Instead, they have to model and encourage good habits in order to get sustained performance and encourage people to unplug and take time off. Leaders also need to help create buffers between work and life, especially with so many people working from home and so much burnout after 3 years of a pandemic and the associated aftershocks. Leaders today also need to shift from managing inputs such as time worked and hours in the office to clearly defined outcomes and measure their employees based on achieving the desired outcomes, irrespective of how hard they work or their hours. It's about the 80-20 rule. A culture that rewards working around the clock does not guarantee better results. In fact, the only thing this approach guarantees is burnout, employee turnover, and possibly even some health problems. Insight number three, depersonalized feedback. We all know that feedback is critical to growth, but feedback in an organization should never come in the form of personal or character attacks. Feedback should be focused on the behavior or actions of an employee, never on the fixed character traits. Here's an example. Many managers find themselves at some point in their career having to give feedback to a direct report about their work not being strategic enough. In this case, the right answer is to show examples of where the specific work delivered could have incorporated more strategic thinking or been more strategic, not to tell them that they are not strategic, as that's not something they believe they can fix. I have spoken with so many employees whose confidence is still badly damaged years later as a result of a boss who criticized their character or personally insulted them. It doesn't make them want to improve. Instead, it makes them quit, or even worse, decide to quit mentally and then stay until they find a new job. I find that the Situation Behavior Outcomes, or SBO framework, works best for feedback. What was the specific situation? What was the problem behavior that you'd like to see addressed or improved going forward? And why did that behavior create a poor outcome, especially for the person involved? Insight number 4. Leadership is not for everyone. At many organizations, there's an established norm that the only way for employees to advance is to become a manager, or even to lead an entire team. However, this path is not right for everyone, or even for most people. Many strong individual contributors who are excellent at what they do don't have the skills or even the desire to be a leader. And asking the best contributors to be a manager is really asking them to do a completely different type of job. Putting strong individual contributors who don't want to manage into leadership roles is a no-win scenario. They get stuck with a job that they don't want to be doing, and their direct reports are stuck with a bad manager. But so many people take on management roles they don't want because they don't think they have any other options to grow. Leaders shouldn't force people to become a manager to advance or to get higher levels of compensation. Instead, organizations need to create a path for individual contributors and tie compensation to the output they deliver for the organization. As an additional step, it's also a good idea to give new managers a ripcord that they can pull if and when they realize that management isn't the right choice for them. This actually happens more than you think, and it's always nice to have an off-ramp when you know you've made the wrong choice. Insight number 5. In hiring, prioritize aptitude over experience. In fast-growing organizations, it can be hard to hire someone for your team today when you may need an entirely different level of work from that person within a couple of years or even months. If your ideal employee is someone who can elevate their performance as the organization grows, the key is to identify people who demonstrate a high level of aptitude and either hire or promote them. Even if these high-aptitude candidates or employees don't have as much experience when they join or are promoted, their growth trajectory will get them up to speed faster than you think. And while experience is valuable, it's not a guarantee of fast growth. Here are some traits to look for in the hiring and promotion process for people who have high aptitude. Promotion in place. People have been promoted quickly and multiple times within a single organization where they stayed for a few years, versus people who constantly switch organizations to get a promotion. Renaissance people. People who have proven themselves in a wide range of roles, projects, or skills. These tend to be fast learners who adapt to change and will step up to do whatever the organization needs at a given time. Drive to learn. You can almost always tell if someone is obsessed with learning when you talk to them. See how they respond when you ask them what books they've read, what they've done to learn and grow within their role, and what they've done to take ownership of their own team. Pull, not push. If a candidate has changed jobs often, it can actually be a good sign if that's a result of former managers or colleagues recruiting them away to join a new organization. High-capacity people are recruited by the people they know rather than constantly finding new jobs through the people who have never worked with them before. That's a red flag. To find the person who can do the job today and tomorrow, you have to look deeper than the resume. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy my new book, Elevate Your Team. We will put links and purchasing info in the accompanying text.
Thank you, Robert. That was Robert Glaser with 5 big ideas from Elevate Your Team. Empower your team to reach their full potential and build a business that builds leaders. You might also want to check out our book bite for Robert's previous book, Friday Forward, inspiration and motivation to help you end your week stronger than it started. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.